We are in this series in the month of January, which reminds us of how important it is for each and every one of us to be connected in love, because we are the body of Christ together. And what I'd like to do this morning is to invite you to join with me as we go through this message together in this great 1 Corinthians 13, and as we receive all that Paul would teach us about love. So I'm going to jump right into the message, and then we'll come to the scripture as we go along. So it was a brisk fall evening about 10 years ago. And I was in my first year as a district superintendent, and I had traveled like more than an hour north to the little village of Arch Rock, Pennsylvania, and I was going there to conduct their annual church conference meeting. The church was located just across the road from a park where there was this large rock that was in the shape of an arch. Arch Rock United Methodist Church. And it was a little white structure, and it looked a lot like I would imagine it looked about 100 years ago, back when the circuit riders were riding up to the church on horseback. Now, I walked in the church, and there were about 20 people there scattered around in the pews, and we conducted all the business. And it didn't take us very long to conduct the business in that little church, and I was just about ready to say a prayer and head back home when this old-timer spoke up, and he said, "Reverend, I think it's time for us to get indoor plumbing." He said, "We're never going to attract young people with that old outhouse out there." Now, I thought he was joking. I mean, I was the new superintendent. I thought he was playing a trick on me. It was 2009. I mean, what church doesn't have indoor plumbing? But he wasn't joking. And from across the room, this woman piped up. "We don't need indoor plumbing," she said. "That outhouse was good enough for Grandma, and it's good enough for me." Now, soon others were voicing their opinions. I'm not joking about this. And it was amazing. And we didn't resolve anything that night. But the good people of Arch Rock United Methodist, they continued their discussion. You might say that they sat on this issue for about 5 years. Now, by that time, the district boundaries had changed, and the Arch Rock Church was no longer in my district. But one day, their new district superintendent called me, and she invited me to participate in a special worship service at the Arch Rock Church. She said they had just completed a renovation project, and it included indoor restrooms. A miracle! So I told her I would take part in the service with her under one condition, and that is that I would get to be the very first man to use the indoor facilities in the men's room. Well, I got there with Betsy the morning of that special service, and the pastor met me in the parking lot. And he said that no one had used the new restroom for men, and I would be the first. So we went inside just in time to see this little boy walking out of the men's room. So I was the second one to use the indoor plumbing at the Arch Rock Church. What a remarkable thing. Now, this month, we've been talking about how important it is as followers of Jesus for us to build relationships with each other. And we've been digging into these two great chapters of 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. And we've been talking about this powerful image Paul uses where he calls the church the body of Christ. In Christ, he says, we are all connected to each other, much like the parts of a human body are connected. And we're connected for a purpose, to carry out the mission of Christ in the world. Each of us is unique, he says. All of us are important, he says. And together, we can do so much more than we can do individually. We is greater than me. However, as our sisters and brothers in Corinth show us, and as many of us have experienced in the life of the church, it's not always easy being we. Once again this morning, we've included some teaching notes in your bulletin, and if you want to follow along and write things down, I would welcome you to do that. And as it says in number one of your notes, in every congregation, we have spoken and unspoken assumptions about what is most important. What's most important in the church? Well, sometimes we're divided over practical matters, like should we have indoor plumbing or not in our old building? And sometimes we're divided over what our priorities ought to be in our mission and ministry. Sometimes in the church, we're divided over our understanding of the Bible. In our United Methodist Church, we have this special session of General Conference coming up near the end of February that many of you know about. We're trying to find a way forward because people have different understandings of what Scripture says on issues related to human sexuality. Some in our church take the traditional view that homosexuality is incompatible with Scripture. And at the present time, as has always been our history, as United Methodists, we do not ordain practicing homosexuals, and we don't perform same-sex marriages. But there are others in the church who also study Scripture and who call us as a church to be more inclusive. In every congregation, there are assumptions, and they differ about what is most important. What is our highest priority? Is it having indoor plumbing? Is it music that inspires? Is it preaching that instructs and challenges? Is it fellowship that encourages? Is it Sunday school and small groups and ministries for children, youth, and adults that help us grow as Christians? Is the most important thing our hospitality, how we welcome people? Is it our congregational care? Is it reaching new people for Christ? Is it giving to missions? Is it serving each according to our spiritual gifts? Is the building our highest priority? Is it having a good strategic plan for the future? Well, all of these things, Paul would tell us, are critically important to the life and ministry of the church. But according to Paul, none of these things is the most important thing in the church. The most important thing, he says, is love. It's love. And in these beautifully poetic words of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul tells us three things about love. Now, last Sunday, because the weather was bad and a number of folks were not able to get here, I'm going to review the first two of these things, the two that we focused on last week, and then we'll jump into the third. The first thing that Paul tells us about love is that love is essential. Love is essential in the church. Let's read verses 1 to 3 together and look at them with your eyes, but also let them address your ears. If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have, and hand over my body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. So Paul is saying to us, no matter how gifted we are, no matter what we accomplish, no matter how extremely generous we are, if our motive is not love, none of it matters. Love is essential, he says. And then he says, secondly, that love is effective. Love is effective. Let's read these next few verses together, and these are probably the most familiar of all in this whole chapter. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, how many of you have heard those words read at a wedding somewhere along the way? Well, when Betsy and I were married, her Uncle Bob, the pastor, in his deep pastoral voice, read those words to us. And as we stood there at the altar, gazing adoringly into each other's eyes, it was such a beautiful moment for us. But in reality, the people who first heard these words in the church in Corinth would not have thought this was such a beautiful thing. Because Paul did not write this chapter as a tribute to a congregation that was doing a good job of loving each other. Everything Paul says in these verses, love is, the people of this church are not. And everything Paul says here, love is not, the people of this church are. They had fallen far short of the high standard of love that the Apostle Paul is describing here. And the truth is, as we look at this description of love, we recognize too that we fall short of it. Did you notice that when Paul describes love in these verses, he talks about it as if he's talking about a person? In fact, you might even fill in a name when you read these verses. You might fill in a name instead of saying love is patient. You might say Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus doesn't brag and isn't arrogant. In fact, the name of Jesus is really the only name that you could fill in to replace love. Because God's love was most beautifully revealed in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's only in relationship with Jesus that you and I can receive this gift of God's love. And it's only in relationship with Jesus that imperfect people like us can be transformed so that it's possible for us to love in this way. And it's only in relationship with Jesus that a bunch of individual me's like us can be brought together into a unified, loving we. Love is the essential thing. And love like this is effective. It transforms us. It transforms the church. It has the effectiveness even to change the world. Now the third thing that Paul says, love is eternal. Love is eternal. Let's read these next few verses together. As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. We know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, think like a child. But now that I've become a man, I've put an end to childish things. Now we see a reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known. Now Paul uses two wonderful images in these verses to help us understand the eternal nature of love. And the first image is the image of a child. You know, Jesus calls us as his disciples to be childlike. At one point he says, unless you become like this little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He calls us to become like little children. Little children with their wide-eyed wonder, their endless curiosity, their boundless energy. Little children, so transparent, there's no pretense about a little child. Little children who don't worry about what they're going to eat or what they're going to wear because they trust entirely in the parents who care for them. Jesus calls us to be childlike, to have that same kind of relationship with our Father in heaven. But Paul would tell us here that there is a difference between being childlike and being childish. And as we read these letters to the Corinthian church, we come to see that there is a whole lot of childish behavior going on there. And that they are relating to each other in some very hurtful and unloving ways. So Paul is saying that when I was a child, I did childish things, but now that I've grown up, I behave differently. And in the same way, he says, in the church, we need to make love the most important thing. Because as we learn to love as God loves, we grow up and we put an end to childish things and we relate to each other in more and more loving ways that bring us together. Now, the second image Paul uses here is the image of a mirror. Now, mirrors back in Paul's day were not like the mirror that you looked at this morning when you were getting ready for church. Historians tell us that mirrors in the first century were actually made out of brass. And what people saw when they looked in a mirror back then was just sort of a dim reflection of their true appearance. What Paul is telling us here is that what we see now is but a dim reflection of what we will one day see in Christ. He tells us that in the church, when love is the most important thing, we will see more and more clearly who God is. And as we were singing about this morning, we will discover more and more clearly who we are in Christ. So the question Paul puts before us here is this: how can we move from being childish to being grown up in Christ? And how can we move from seeing just this partial reflection to seeing more and more clearly who we are called to be. Well, let's read this next line together. Before love is something you can do, it has to be someone you know. We should probably read that together again. You ready? Before love is something you can do, it has to be someone you know. At the end of this passage, Paul says, faith, hope, and love remain these three. And just in case you haven't been paying attention up until now, he says, the greatest of these is love. Love. Love is not just something that we do because we're trying harder to do it. Love is something that transforms us when we know Jesus, whose name is love. And the more we walk with Jesus, the deeper our relationship with Jesus, the more loving we become. God said way back in Genesis, it is not good for man to be alone. He said that after he created Adam and he was trying to find a helper fit for Adam. And so it is in Christ. We were not made as disciples of Jesus to walk this journey alone. We were made for each other, parts of the same body. And as we've been looking at over this month, we live in a world where something that is so highly valued as independence, we value what makes us distinctive from each other. But Paul calls us to find a better way, the way of interdependence, the way that declares as a church that we is so much greater than just me. We need each other to stay on the path with Christ. We need each other to do all the things God calls us to do as His body in this community. It is so critically important for us to build relationships with one another in the body of Christ. I'd like to ask that as we move toward the close of this message, that we would join together in reading this declaration of who we are that will be up there on the screen. It'll be up there on the screen in just a minute. Or maybe it's there in your teaching notes. Okay. Well, I'm going to read it, and if you have the notes in front of you, read it along with me. Okay? Here we go. As a disciple of Jesus, I am committed to building loving relationships with others at First Church because God has brought us together for a purpose and has uniquely gifted me for the good of others. Now, if you look on the back of your teaching notes, you'll see a statement that says, my next step as a relationship builder. Here at First Church, we value building relationships with each other, building loving relationships. And there are many places where we have the opportunity to build relationships with each other. And I wonder, are you putting yourself in places where, in fellowship with your sisters and brothers, you can build the kind of relationships that will help you to follow Jesus? What's your next step when it comes to worship? What's your next step when it comes to serving in some way here at the church? What's your next step when it comes to serving out there in the community? What's your next step when it comes to participating in a Sunday school class or in a small group with others? What's your next step when it comes to giving, to support building community here at the church? Jesus calls us, every one of us, into community. He calls us in community to let Him be the center of all that we do, so that through His presence and His power, we might learn to love. To love. Love is essential, and it's effective. And love, love alone, is the only thing that lasts.